Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
One of the most important aspects of pastoring a parish as a diocesan priest, I learned very quickly. It was hospital ministry. Because in a large parish, you always have folks who are sick or hospitalized. Every week for the 14 years I was at St. Charles and Clio, I would go to the three local hospitals in Flint, Hurley, McLaren, and Genesis. And normally, I would take my pastoral associate, Sister Kathy, with me, and the two of us would visit those hospitals, and always on Tuesday and sometimes by Friday, I was going back again because other people had been admitted. Our parishioners were always glad to see Sister and myself, and I always considered it a blessing to share in that ministry for over 40 years. Now I'm retired, and I'm not a pastor. I don't go to the hospitals nearly as often. Illness is not easy for any of us to deal with, but it's especially tough when it hits a child or a young person. Two people that whenever I hear this gospel always come to mind for me in my years of ministry are Brody and Mary Beth. Brody was a little boy in my parish, just 3 or 4 years old. He was diagnosed with leukemia. He was in the pediatric intensive care unit at Hurley Hospital for many months, and I would visit him regularly. His mother was always there. Mary Beth was a junior here at Michigan State. She was diagnosed in her junior year with cancer, and she spent a year in and out of U of M Hospital in Ann Arbor. Her family was always there to support her, both her parents and her sisters. Spending time at these hospitals, I learned to have great respect for doctors and nurses who work with children and young people. You know, it has to be a special call or vocation to work with kids who are sick. In both of these families, the parents had very strong faith. And I know it was so tough for all of us to stand by and to watch these parents love and support their children, knowing that as much as they wanted to take the pain away, yet realizing that wasn't possible. I think what hurts parents the most is seeing their children suffer in any way and knowing all you can do is stand by them, love them, and support them. Brody overcame his leukemia. He is an active young man today, at least as far as I know, I've kind of lost contact with his family. But Mary Beth died after battling bravely for a year. Her sister had a baby right before she died, and Mary Beth's last wish was to be godmother for that baby. And I went to U of M one Sunday after I finished Masses, and I said, why can't we baptize that baby? And all the people we needed were there but the baby, and we quickly brought the baby from Clio back to, down to Ann Arbor, and I never met a hospital staff that was so cooperative. It was amazing. I remember we baptized that baby right in her hospital room. And I remember the pictures that they took of Mary Beth with that baby. Because for her, it was a wish come true. She went home to the Lord. And it's probably one of the most powerful baptisms that I've ever celebrated as an ordained cleric. In today's gospel, we meet two more people in need of God's healing touch. Both of them were wise enough to be seeking out Jesus, one through her father and the other directly. One is a child of 12. Her father, Jairus, advocates with Jesus for her. And the other is a woman who had been suffering with hemorrhages for 12 years. Jesus, remember last Sunday's gospel, he has just crossed the Sea of Galilee with his disciples through that storm. And now he's approached by this man named Jairus, who was a synagogue official. He pleads with Jesus, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come, lay your hand on her, and I know she will get well and live." Jairus, obviously, folks, had a deep faith in Jesus and what Jesus could do for his daughter. Jesus went off with Jairus, and a large crowd followed them. Now, in this particular gospel, Mark uses what is called a sandwich technique. He starts out with one story about Jairus, then he inserts the second story about the woman with the hemorrhage, then he goes back and finishes the first story. So while Jesus is on the way to the little girl's home with her father, he's approached by a woman who had suffered with hemorrhages for 12 years. The woman obviously heard about Jesus. She too knew that he could help her. She'd suffered greatly, we're told, at the hands of her doctors, drained all her finances, and her condition had only gotten worse. So also I think when you look at what was going on with her hemorrhages, she was considered ritually unclean. So she could not conceive, nor could she enter the temple to worship with the worshiping community. She heard about Jesus, and she was convinced with Jesus there was hope. So she took matters into her own hands. She came up behind Jesus and simply touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be cured." And immediately her flow of blood dried up. Now Jesus is aware that healing power has gone out of him. And he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" And of course his disciples, they say, "Master, look at the size of this crowd. These people are hemming you in and you're saying, who touched me?" Now the woman realized she had been cured, and courageously she approached Jesus. She fell down and she told Jesus the truth, to which Jesus responds, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." It's interesting, folks, that Jesus addresses this woman as daughter, which is the only time that happens in Mark's gospel when Jesus addresses anyone as daughter. It seems to speak of sort of a special relationship Jesus felt for her and with her. It was her faith in him and in God that created that unique bond of family between the two of them. We're never told the woman's name. She just was referred to Jesus as daughter. Now, Mark then switches the scene back to Jairus and his daughter. And it's kind of interesting because there's no mention that Jairus got impatient or fearful as they were halted to take care of this woman with the hemorrhages. And as Jesus is speaking, people come from the synagogue to tell Jairus his daughter has died. "Don't trouble the teacher any longer." Jesus intervenes. He ignores the messengers and he says to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." When they arrive at Jairus' home, Jesus sees the people wailing and weeping. He goes into the home and he says to the folks, "This little girl's not dead. She's asleep." And then he takes the child's father and mother into the room where the child lay. In that room, he took the little girl by the hand. Folks, his touch was healing, and so is ours. These hands of ours can do a lot of healing in this world. He says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately, she gets up and begins to walk around. And the room, the people are just astounded at what's going on. Jesus then says, give her something to eat. Just as, remember, he ate fish with his disciples after he rose from the dead to prove to them that he was alive. What a joyous scene this must have been for Jairus and his family. Today's gospel, much like last Sunday's gospel of the disciples in the storm on the lake, is all about faith. For the woman with the hemorrhage, it was her faith that saved her. For the little girl, it was her parents' faith in Jesus that saved her. But in either case, it was faith, faith in Jesus and in his healing touch. Folks, nothing tests our faith in the Lord more than sickness and death, be it for ourselves or for people we love. The author of Wisdom reminds us in our first reading, God did not make death, nor does God rejoice in the destruction of the living. God fashioned all things to have being and all creatures to be wholesome. God formed man and woman, you and I, to be imperishable. In his own image, he made us. The reading goes on to say, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and those who belong to his company experience it. Our God is a God of the living, and he wants all of us to live full, active lives. St. Paul reminds us in our second reading that we need to excel in faith, discourse, knowledge, earnestness, and love. He says we must excel in gracious acts, just as our brother Jesus did. Jesus was rich. For your sake and mine, he became poor, so that by his poverty, we would become rich and one day share his gift of eternal life forever. Faith in Jesus and in his healing touch. That's what the woman with the hemorrhage had. That's what Jairus and his wife had. Brody and Mary Beth and their parents also had faith. Brody was healed, Mary Beth was not. But both sets of parents had a deep faith in Jesus. And in life, folks, that's really all that matters.